And you talk a lot about the importance of politics in boxing and prize fighting. So talk a little bit about that.
Well, you know, it's unusual to hear that prize fighting was legal at one time in New Orleans. All over the country, it was illegal and may have had an audience given a wink and a nod to the local police that something took place. But most of these prize fights took place in rural settings, in someone's barn.
Of course.
Or, you know, John L. Sullivan's got the title to the heavyweight title from Paddy Ryan by being chased out of Louisiana into Mississippi outside of Gulfport.
What a story that is.
And they quickly decamped the train, erected a makeshift ring in the side yard of the Barnes Hotel, and had the fight, and then packed it all up and left. That's where he won the title. Several years later, he was run out of town again. I mean, the governor called out the state militia. Both governors, as a matter of fact, called out their militia. And so here you had this Keystone Cops high-speed chase at 20 miles an hour by rail, and everyone was trying to figure out where they were going, where was this going to be. And it wound up outside of Hattiesburg, in a mill town called Richburg. And that was the last bare-knuckle fight in America. And it was packed with people. I mean, people loved boxing. And when you look at how the New York Times depicted it, their engraving had sturdy oaks with sleepy moss hanging from the branches, and people in the trees and such as that, and mustachioed men with overcoats and hats and shotguns. And it was nothing like that in terms of the trees. They did have shotguns and things of that sort. Jake Kilrain's timekeeper was a fellow named Bat Masterson, who people know from as a lawman. But the trees were all spindly looking pines that no one could get into the trees, the branches of, because there were no branches. They were just toothpick like pines. But there were still some 7,000-8,000 people who traveled at great peril to themselves to come see this.
People take pleasure very seriously. They pursue it.
So in 1890, they had a change in the laws. And the law was very specific about, and I'm going to paraphrase it, but I mean, it was very specific about prohibiting combat between human beings with or without gloves and such as that, for a prize or not for a prize, a purse or not for a purse, whatever, however you defined that. Except in the rooms of a chartered athletic club. Now, how that got snuck into the wording of it, well, it doesn't come to as much surprise to people in Louisiana that the circumlocution department got
hard at work.
Exactly.
Yes.
But I think what they envisioned was a gymnasium with a couple of hundred people sitting around a boxing ring. Nowhere in their faintest imagination did they think of a 10,000-seat arena and people coming from all over the world to see this. So as many times as they tried to block it, they had the Olympic Club had the Holy Trinity of legislative success. They had the three-legged stool that said it's in a chartered athletic club. No alcohol was to be sold. Now, that didn't prevent them from taking a flask in such as that, but and a police presence. And there was a heavy police presence. When you see etchings of the ring, there's the 24-foot ring, and there's a 3-foot border around the outside that was also cordoned off by barbed wire so that the crowd couldn't get to it. But the police patrolled the exterior of the ring. There were some 40 policemen throughout the entire arena. So there was a huge police presence inside the ring, another 100 policemen controlling traffic outside of the ring, because you can imagine there were carriages and calihos and wagons, and anything that rolled would take you down to the bywater to get you to the Olympic Club. So they actually complied with all the three tenets.
Right.
And so there you had it. They got through. So as improbable as it sounds, their very third event that they staged was for the World Middleweight Championship between the original Jack Dempsey, whose real name was John Patrick Kelly, a good Irish name for a good Irish lad from Williamsburg, New York, born in Ireland but emigrated. He changed his name because he didn't want his mother to know he'd been fighting.
Oh, the shame.
But he was unparalleled, and that was his nickname, the Nompareil. Mm-hmm. And so he had been undefeated in 65 bouts, and he was fighting this unknown from Australia by the name of Bob Fitzsimmons. And no one thought he had a chance, except the people in New Orleans who watched him train. And the heavy money went on Bob Fitzsimmons, and of course he won. But that was their third event.
Wow.
And it was a world championship.
Well, you go into such detail about individual fights and events. I mean, this is truly a labor of love for you. I mean, so detailed.
It is, because when you think about it, you know, boxing is not the most appetizing subject matter for most people. And I'm very cognizant of it. You know, I'm asking you to take several hours of your life to read this book. And so I wanted to make sure that it was a complete picture, not only of the boxing.
But of the place and the city, everything.
But the place and the time.
Yeah.
You know, New Orleans has always attracted risk takers and roues and all sorts of folks. But look at what they built. As improbable a location as it is, look what they built here. And this is one of the things that we love. So when I look at that club and try to imagine why they built this club, why they built it where they did, how they accomplished what they could accomplish, and how it took the world by storm, because people did come from all over to come to New Orleans.